Actually, I did not intend to use these verses tonight, but a song inspired me. And since the topic that brothers prepared is about preparing for Christ's second coming, and of course, you didn't write here especially in the viewpoint of the prophet Isaiah, right, from chapters 1 to 10, to 12. I think that was missing there, right? Or maybe your brothers just purposely left it up. I don't know. But it was good. With or without, doesn't really matter, right? So since we're talking about the second coming of Christ, I think it's very appropriate that brothers chose the song. And tonight I'm just giving an introduction to the whole conference, and the brothers will bear the burden. So, since this is the main topic, and I thought sitting there tonight is good for us to start with the book of Matthew concerning the 12 virgins. Chapter 25.
Ten.
The 10 virgins. Yeah. What did I say?
Well.
That must be half asleep. All right, the 12 disciples. You're right. So let's go to chapter 25 of Matthew. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding concerning this parable, unfortunately. It's not a criticism, but I have heard so many talking about this, and unfortunately many of the concepts seems to be that the five virgins, the wise ones, are believers and the foolish virgins are not believers. But this is not what the Bible says. They're all virgins, number one. The Lord will never call an unbeliever a virgin. Impossible. So, virgins only refer to the believers, not to an unbeliever. This is for sure in the Word of God. And then he's talking about the kingdom of the heavens. Of course, the unbelievers, they don't even believe in God, much less about the kingdom of the heavens, right? And these are the virgins who took their lambs and went out to meet the bridegroom. I don't know of any unbelievers who is going out to meet the bridegroom, right? Do you, Dennis? No, definitely not. They will be laughing at you. What? Who is the bridegroom? The Lord Jesus. They don't even believe in this. So, just in verse 1, you have to be clear that this verse is talking about believers. And only the believers could be, in the eyes of God, a virgin. So, remember Revelation chapter 14. These ones were the first fruits. They are virgins. What does it mean, virgin? A virgin is one who kept himself or herself pure, right? And not to have just relationship with anybody. So here, God desires us to be virgins for himself. You know, very amazingly, at the very end of the Bible, in chapter 17, you have a prostitute, a whore. And in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, you have the bride. Now, I don't think I need to explain between the difference between these two, right? It's understandable. The bride is one who really kept or keeps herself pure for the bride. But The whore in Revelation chapter 17, the mother of harlots. Yes, she was free to have relationship with anybody, with anything, for gain. So, why is it at the very end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, God mentions these two women? One can do anything he likes, she likes. But the other one is the holy city, the bride of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Even the Lamb's wife at this point in time, because the marriage feast was there, and so the bride, when she got married to the bridegroom, became the wife, Mrs. Lamb. Exactly. Mrs. Lamb. It's a wonderful name, right? Praise the Lord. So we really need to see that the Bible is very consistent in its revelation. So the Lord, actually, he didn't come just to redeem us, but he, just like he came, to seek for a bride. Just like Abraham sending his servant Eliezer to go back to where Abraham came from to seek for a bride for his son Isaac. So, if the Lord would open our eyes, you can really see that the Lord is not just a Savior, but he is a bridegroom. Amen. Everybody stressed the fact, oh, he died on the cross. He's a Savior. Right? He's a Redeemer, and he died for you, so no problem now. Well, that's another story that we should go back to. But the goal, the wonderful goal, is not just salvation. The salvation has a goal, is to gain a bride for the bridegroom. Now the relationship with a Savior and a sinner is quite different than bride and bridegroom. Right? Isn't it? When you were courting your bride in the early days, she must be something special. And there is such a loving relationship. So this is very important. What kind of a relationship we have with the Lord depends on how much you know about him. Have you ever thought of him every day as your bridegroom? Ah, Jake, when you pray, oh dear bridegroom, I doubt that any of us would pray like that, right? You say, oh Lord, oh my Savior, save me. But have you ever told him, dear bridegroom, I love you so much. How about that? Tao. Ah, I don't think you ever did, right? Oh, very, no, right? Yeah, he's honest, he says no. This is right. Why not? Why? Because that wonderful status of our Lord Jesus Christ is not revealed to you deeply in your heart. Now you tell me, what is more intimate in the relationship? As a sinner to a Savior, or as a bride to a bridegroom? You should ask your wife. Right? Right? Certainly, it's a different relationship. Now let me ask you tonight, what is your relationship with Christ? What is your relationship with him? Are you preparing for the wedding? Right? Suppose the wedding day is coming, but the bride is sleeping and not prepared and no wedding garment and still wearing pajamas at the day of wedding when she just woke up. You think the bridegroom will be happy? Then all of a sudden the bride appeared in pajamas and said, here I am. He would say, oh, darling, I'm so happy you're here. Would you say that, Tom? You would say, who are you? I don't know you. Wouldn't you say that? I would. Dorothy, wouldn't you think that would be the case? Now you understand why the Lord told the foolish virgin, I don't know you. It's very logical. I don't know you. Do you believe that? Even in your concept, you might not believe, but it's written in the word, and the parable was given by the Lord himself. So you better believe it. You better believe it. And five of them were wise. The only difference is whether you're wise or you're foolish. So you choose what kind of a virgin you would like to be. Or you should assess yourself tonight. Which side are you on? Do you belong to the wise virgins or do you belong to the foolish virgins? Sarah, which would you prefer belong?
The wise.
Wise. Praise the Lord. And of course. Of course. I'm glad my granddaughter prefers to be wise. It would be terrible if she told me, oh, I don't care. You must be a foolish one if you don't care. What kind of a Christian are you? A Christian who doesn't care? Oh, I don't care. It does not matter. Don't worry. You worry too much. I'm already saved, so what? If your attitude is like that, you better read Matthew 25 again. Read it again. Right. So, another point to prove to you that they are all believers is in verse 5 and 6. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Oh, the Lord delayed for 2,000 years now. He didn't come back. That's a long delay. So many Christians passed away, died. But in the Bible did not say die. The Bible says they went to sleep. Why? If you die, you will not wake up the next day, right? But if you sleep, you will wake up. Meaning to say, we Christians will resurrect, we will rise from the dead when the Lord comes back again. The unbelievers will not resurrect until the end of the wedding, the end of the millennial kingdom. And they will appear before the judgment, the white throne of God's judgment. But we, the believers, we will rise first. That's what the Bible says. Those who are in Christ will rise first. So it says in verse 5, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Okay, the bridegroom is coming. So all those, says, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So that means they are all believers because they arose from the dead when the Lord Jesus came, when the bridegroom came. And now the main point here is the wise virgins not only have oil in their lamps, but they have oil in their vessels. They have that extra portion of oil. This is important. And the oil signifies the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Remember in the book of Acts, how many times was it mentioned? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all full of the Holy Spirit. And the apostles, full of the Holy Spirit, testified and do this and did that. Right? So many things. In many occasions they were filled today. Are you gaining the oil every day? Are you buying it? We don't have the things to write on here, but it doesn't matter. Let me just mention to you quickly, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in him. What happened to you? You're born again. The Holy Spirit enters into you, and your spirit becomes alive, and Paul says you become one spirit with him. So that portion of the oil is given to you free. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not of works. It's by grace. It's the gift of God. You're saved not by works. So the first portion of oil given into your lambs is free. But then after you're born again, you're a Christian. No need of that. Thank you. Yeah. Then it says here in this parable, you need to buy oil. Now buying is a little bit different than receiving a gift. What do you do when you buy? Pay. And what do you pay? How much are you going to pay to receive more oil from the Lord? How do you pay? Pay with what? Obedience to him. Spend time with the Lord. Come every day to eat the living Word of God. Seek him. You have to gain him. Just like what Paul said in Philippians. Right? He says he wants to gain more of Christ. He wants to know more about him. He even wants to be filled with him. And he wants to live him. For me to live is Christ, he said. And you want to gain this wonderful Christ. And he pressed toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God. So it doesn't mean that I'm already saved. No, I don't have to do anything anymore. No? You have a son, too. So after they're born and have your life, wonderful, you don't need to do anything anymore. No need to do anything. No? You and your wife, right? He is begotten by you. After he is born, you don't need to take care of him anymore. He is okay. Just leave him there. He's okay. He's already born. He's a strobel now. He's a strobel now. Let me tell you, after he is born, it's just the beginning. Now this boy has to grow. Is it easy to grow? Learn obedience, is it easy? Are you obedient? You say, yes, mama. Yes, daddy, everything. Every time your daddy says so, yes, daddy. See, there's a lot of work to do. Don't think I'm saved, I'm born again, praise the Lord, I don't have to do anything. You're kidding me. I can show you many verses to say that you need to mature in spiritual life. You need to grow. You need to learn obedience. You need to do the will of the Father in heaven.
Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, can enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. So, a lot of things that you need to do to pay the price. What about not loving the world? What about the acts of righteousness, the righteous acts of the saints? What about being clean, pure, and even bright? So many things here. Let me read to you to show you what kind of a child they have. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. People like to say, yeah, I go to church. I go to church. Yeah, of course you go to church. You're a Christian, so you go to church. But the question is, what church? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23, or beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, subject to Christ, not believing in Christ only, but subject to Christ. Now, I'm sure your wife believes in you, right? She believes in you, right? No problem. How about subject to? Easier. Not easy, not easy, okay. Amen. And husband, it says here, right? Let wives subject to their own husband just in a few things. In verse 24, what does it say? Oh, come on. Is it possible? In everything? Your wife is subject to you in obedience in everything? Nobody dares to answer that. I know it's difficult. And then it says, husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You know, it's so wonderful that Paul used this wonderful mystery between husband and wife to portray the wonderful, unique, universal picture of Christ and the church. Right. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself. What kind of a church? What? Ah, you told me you go to church every Sunday. To what church? A glorious church? Filled with Christ, expressing the glory of Christ. A glorious church. Huh? Fully subjecting herself to Christ. How about that? Right. And the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Huh? This is the kind of church the Lord wants. You're not married yet, right? Not yet. What if I introduce to you a 90-year-old lady full of spots and wrinkle? You know, wrinkle is a sign of oldness. spot, you know, the older you get, I have already a lot of spots. And then a lot of wrinkles. Would you like to marry that kind of a lady?
I thought you introduced me to her.
So, of course you will not take such a person as your bride. And you think the Lord will do it? Ephesians 5 tells me no. He wants a church, a bride that is glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Is that a church you're building in Toronto? Is that your aim? And what are you doing about it? It's not good enough just to have the goal, and we are not doing anything about it. And you're busy with this and that, and all the saints are busy with so many things, and nobody cares. And then we say, oh yeah, we want a glorious church. How is it going to work? Yeah. So, may the Lord really show us what he wants. What he wants. The church today must correspond to this glorious head. Must correspond to the glorious head. And Brother Mo Chang helped me wash the car. And because my tire, I'm getting older and I'm too lazy to wash the tires. So I went to buy a spray to clean the tire. Because the car looks terrible if the tires are right. After we washed the tires, right, the car looks different. And then Brother Mu Chang told me, it looks like you put a wonderful suit on and your shoes is so run down, terrible, and so dirty and smelly. That will ruin your whole suit, even if that suit will cost $500 or $1,000 suit. We have to match the Lord. Can you imagine the head is glorious, but the body is rotten? You think the Lord will be happy with that? Definitely not. So the Lord is looking for a glorious church. And Paul, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, right? Please, just take a look tonight. Bear with me. Because we're talking about preparing for the Lord's coming. Embed it in your heart. And you need to have that concept. Embed it in your heart, chapter 11. And this is what Paul is working right here. Oops, I'm in 1 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Yeah. So, let me read to you, right? Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, he said in verse 1. And indeed, you do bear with me, because he's going to tell them the truth. For I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Can you imagine God is positively jealous for his bride? Right? For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, as a brother taking the lead in the churches, or as brothers taking the lead in so many churches. Are you like Paul? Building up the church with a godly jealousy, with a view and a desire to present the church as a chaste virgin to Christ as the husband. Do you pray for the church every day? Pray for the saints every day, seeking for the Lord's guidance. Lord, how can we attain such a high goal without your help? What should we do? Show us. Give us revelation. Open our eyes. Show us in your word. Show us by the holy anointing indwelling us. Otherwise, how are you going to lead the church? Just give a message every Sunday and that's it? Learn from Paul. That's why it's written here. We should all learn. We should all learn. Right? But I fear, he says, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by craftiness, so your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Remember, there is an enemy, there is a serpent that tries his very best to corrupt us. But nobody cares. So what if we are corrupted? Nobody is perfect. I heard that many times. Yeah. Right. So here, you have to realize that all the brothers taking the lead in every locality, you need to have that godly jealousy. That means you have to know what God desires, and you need to have that burning spirit, a desire to accomplish what God wants us to be. Yeah. So you can really see, well, the whole Bible actually mention concerning the precious church in the eyes of God. Not just any kind of a church. No. God already tells us very clearly what kind of a church he wants. Right? So, and then in the book of Revelation, it says we have to be ready. Just like in Matthew, I'm going back to Matthew chapter 25 here. What the Lord says, yeah. Let me read to you what the Lord, what I think the Lord says. Right? In verse 13. Oh, don't worry about it. Right? It doesn't matter when the Lord is coming back. Don't worry. You're already saved. Don't worry. What did the Lord say? Watch. Why do you have to watch? What are you watching for? What are you watching for? Watch? What watch? What are you watching for? Tell me. That you do not fall. That the enemy will not come in and corrupt you. Watch that you'll not be distracted, falling away, like the warnings in the book of Hebrews. Watch that you become one of those virgins who buy the oil. Watch that you will gain Christ and not be deceived by the serpent. And make yourself ready. Yeah. So here, they who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Don't think at that point in time the Lord is going to wait for you. You are grossly mistaken if you think, oh, God is so merciful. He will wait for me. Not in verse 10. Not in verse 10. And the door was slightly ajar. No, the door was shut. And no one can open it. No. So it's very important for us to have this realization. Right. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The Lord did not say the season. We don't know the day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or December 31st. No. We don't know the day. But the Lord tells us, you will know the season because there are signs the Lord has given us. I know, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, if the peace treaty is signed, what happened? The last week, the last 7 years begins. That means you can count your fingers. 7 years. Beginning from the peace treaty, you only have 7 years left. Actually, you only have the first 3.5 years left, because the last 3.5 years is going to be the great day of God's wrath. But if you ask me, when is it going to happen? When is the peace treaty going to be signed? I don't know. But I hope that Trump will do it. Let me tell you. Every other president in the past always waited at the end of their terms to try to do something for a peace treaty, although they knew it cannot be done. Clinton did it in the last 4 days of his second term. What can you do 4 days and night in Camp Davis? They didn't sleep with Netanyahu and Arafat and Clinton. What can you do to have such an important peace 4 days and night? Dennis, do you think you can make it? But this person here, whether you like him or not, doesn't really matter. Right? I don't think I like him, and don't think I dislike him. For me, it doesn't really matter. But what matters is this man chosen by the Lord to fulfill this plan, to fulfill his word in Daniel chapter 9. If he is, you better wake up. Not only in his campaign promised, and he said a very strong word at that time. I was in Germany with Mary, and we watched the internet of his speech to the pro-Israelis convention. He said it very, very strongly. This will be his top priority. And indeed, after he became president, after he took office, he put that as his top priority. The first foreign visit he really did is to visit Israel. And he promised to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And he's working on it. Yep. These are signs. These are signs. Because there's absolutely no more time left, okay? A few years back, in Y2K, I told the saints in Europe, we are living in borrowed time. It's overtime. Just like in basketball, you have overtime. First overtime, second overtime, but it's not going to be 10 overtime. Okay? All the players will be lying on the floor there. Hey, from Adam to Abraham, you have 2,000 years. From Abraham to the first coming of Christ, you have 2,000 years. From the time Christ was crucified and then ascended, it's another 2,000 years now, altogether 6,000 years. And the 7,000 years is the Sabbath millennial. According to the Bible, number 7 is a very old number. What number is it? It shows the number of the completion of God's work. God gave his nations, the world, 6,000 years to rule, and it became a big mess today. Now the 7,000 years begin. The millennial kingdom, that will be the coming of the kingdom of the heavens on this earth. Now, in between, we are living in a transitional period. Just like when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, until the time he was crucified to end the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, there was a transitional period. So now we are in this transitional period and don't think it's going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. So how much time we have, I don't know, but I know that a season is very, very near. The season is very, very near. So what are you going to do? Somebody is asking, will the peace treaty be signed very quickly? I said, no. Why? Because you and I need more time. Suppose Trump succeeded in signing the treaty this year. Oh, my goodness, your time is shortened to 3.5 years left for you to be ready. You think you'll make it? So I told the Lord, Lord, please do it at the maximum length of time for Trump to really do it, to give us more time. But if the Lord really gives you more time, are you going to make use of it? You think 7 years is a long time? No, it's not a very long time. You better start now. We all better start now to be ready. Because if you don't, even if the Lord gives you 70 more years, you're not going to be ready. And then you have to also believe, and I've been telling the saints, okay, if the Lord delays his time for another 50 years, you think you're going to live 50 years? No guarantee. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? The Lord may delay 50 years, but you may not have 50 years. So, we all should learn to start today, and every day is an opportunity for us to gain the Lord, to buy oil. Well, it's up to you, right? It's your choice. We cannot force anybody to do it. But you have to realize that the Lord will use somebody according to Daniel chapter 9. Just like in Isaiah, because we're going to talk about Isaiah. In chapter 44 and 45, the Lord already predestinated at the time of Isaiah, King Cyrus of Persia. And if you read Isaiah 44 and 45, the name Cyrus was already mentioned 100 years, over 100 years before he was born. Can you imagine? Who can tell the future except the Lord? And the Lord is going to use King Cyrus to bring the remnant of his people back to Jerusalem. Yeah. Amazing. So now, to accomplish the peace treaty, the Lord also needs another modern day Cyrus. And who is this modern day Cyrus going to be? Merkel? Oh, sorry. She's a woman. And not only that, disqualified. Right. It's a big mess. Okay. And who? Yeah. And remember, USA is really today the only superpower left. And secondly, the only friend of Israel. Nobody, Israel doesn't have any other friend. United Nations is a horrible, disunited nation. It's not going to work. They're anti-Israel. Especially through that, bummer. Now you tell me, who else could do this job that is pro-Israel today? Tell me, Dennis, any suggestion? No wonder everyone today, especially the libs, they want to pull down Trump and take him out of the way. What have they done until this very day? But it all backfired to them. And all the fake news. Right. I don't want to talk about it. There are many informations out there. But hey, this man is not only standing, but he is accomplishing a lot of good works for this country. Yeah. And he is out of the mainstream. He is not, a typical politician. And it seems that just like King Cyrus, he's not for himself. Yeah. So I doubt that there will be anybody else. I doubt. I'm not 100% sure. I may be wrong, but I doubt. And today the whole community, the whole world, and Europe just... also legalize gay marriage. The whole world is just like the days of Lot. Sodom and Gomorrah. Right. So, hey, full of violence like the days of Noah. Right. Everything is ripening, ready for judgment. This is why we're talking about preparing for the Lord's second coming. So may the Lord really wake us up. We need to be awake today. And the goal, you see, and in the New Testament, important goal today, both in Isaiah, and you will really see, and in the New Testament, is to be one with God to build up his holy city, the new heavenly Jerusalem. Because this is what a church is. Zion, the city of the living God. And the architect himself is God. And the book of Hebrews chapter 8 says, only the Lord himself can build up this true heavenly tabernacle. Not by men, not with men's hands, and not of this creation. And exactly quoted by Stephen, he quoted Isaiah. God says, hey, I created, I made the heavens and the earth. Everything is made by me. What kind of a dwelling place can you build for me? Because the living God who created and made the heavens and the earth, he does not dwell in temple to his hands. So what do you have to build? Man's hands. Sorry, me too. We can have thousands of man's hands. God will not accept it. And that is a quotation from Isaiah. And Isaiah's goal is to show us the restoration of Zion. God wants to build up heavenly Zion, the city of Jerusalem. But not the earthly, but heavenly. The heavenly Jerusalem. So the church is not just a gathering and I don't know what to. Sunday school service no, sorry, that's not what it is. It's the city of the great king. It's really what the Lord is up to today. That's where the very end, both in the Old Testament and the New, you can really see God. Finally got his purpose fulfilled. Come, I will show you the bride, the holy city, heavenly, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, because it is not of this creation. What? You need dollars to build a church? You need millions of dollars? You know, I remember a few decades back, Oral Roberts, you know the name Oral Roberts. He said he had a dream of a 70-foot Jesus that appeared to him and says, if you in 3 months not raise I don't know how many million of dollars, I'll take your life. You think the Lord Jesus will do that? And he needs how many million? 10 million or something. And the Christians believe that in less than 3 months he got his money. I won't give him 1 cent. It's a scam. This is the way people build God's work and God's house and the churches. No, it is definitely not right. Not righteous. And remember, the bride made herself ready. And what was given to her? A garment, a wedding garment of fine linen. Pure and bright. And this fine linen, the Lord said, is the righteous acts of the saints. Righteous. Yep. And we have to experience Christ as our righteousness in everything that we do. It's an exercise. It's a practice. Yeah, it's a training. You want to be ready? That is the way. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. You all came from so far, and some are still in the way. But, well, I hope that this fellowship tonight will encourage all of us to desire to prepare ourselves. Amen. For the Lord's coming. Yes. Because if you don't, you're going to regret it. Yeah. And the Lord warns us there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when he comes back. He's not talking about the unbelievers, okay? He's talking about the believers. Right. And he will deny you, not your salvation, but he will deny your right to join the wedding. There's a big difference. So, let us all wake up. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen.